a previously recorded Matt Slick show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at CARM.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. It's May 14th, 2020. If you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. And let's see, just give you a reminder that if you're interested in studying some theology, all you got to do is go to the CARM site. And there's plenty of free articles there. There really are. You don't need to sign up with the schools and things like that, but the schools are arranged logically. And step by step, one thing builds upon another. I've written so many articles. Like I was counting the other day. I wrote 159, I think, articles on Roman Catholicism. I've written 160 or 70 on Islam, 180 on annihilationism, you know, and maybe 200 on Christian theology. It just, I don't write these topics, and I really, really get into them quite a bit. And I love to do that kind of research. It's kind of weird, you know, I guess, but I really enjoy being able to research and write, and people appreciate it, and I'm glad that so many of you out there do. So if you want to give me a call, five open lines, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, and we could talk about all kinds of things you want to talk about. We have Facebook pages also. We have where we discuss Roman Catholicism. Is Roman Catholicism true? That is a Facebook page that I run. We have people who are just standing in proxy for me running it, and it's very good. And they put up stuff. I'm looking at some of the memes that are there right now, and people even put up stuff there for Catholicism, and that's okay. We discuss and debate in various things. So I'm going to approve the one for the Catholic stuff and even for the Protestant stuff, so people can go in and check things out. So anyway, that's one option that we have. We have several other Facebook pages. Is Atheism True? That's another one. We have Christian Apologetics. We have all kinds of stuff that we try and reach out with in order to meet people and witness to them. Also, we have a Twitter page on CARM.org, CARM.org, Twitter, or just CARMORG. And you can check that out if you want. And so, you know, we got a lot of stuff. We put a lot of stuff out. And we're writing articles, of course. And believe it or not, the new website is under development. And I was just checking out a little bit ago. And I can't say it's looking good yet because it's early. But I can say that they are working on it. And hopefully within 2 months, I think it's supposed to be within 2 months, we should have a new website released and ready, and it'll be up to date and all the bells and whistles and things like that. And also, if you like science fiction, I've written a science fiction novel out there, and it's on the CARM homepage on the right hand side, any page you can see on the right hand side. And those are some of the issues you can check out. And hopefully, let's see, I've got all these emails coming in live how it is right now. So, at any rate, where are all the callers? What's up? So, okay, there we go. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And we can talk about it wherever you want to talk about it. If you're a new Christian, you want to get grounded in the faith, you want to learn eschatology, you want to learn about Catholicism, Mormonism, Roman, you know, whatever it is, you can call and we can talk. And if you've got any questions in the chat room, you can type those out and ask. And also, people can watch the show. They like to do that sometimes. You can watch on Facebook, CARM.org Facebook, or you can watch on YouTube. And to get to those, all you can do is go to the CARM website, C-A-R-M matslickshow.org. On the right-hand side, you will find the information for that. Actually, the top of the middle page of the homepage is the information and the links in order to get to those things, so you can check them out. So I think that's about it. Three open lines right now, 877-207-2276. Why don't we just jump on the phones here. Let's get to Paul from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Paul, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
Just a quick question. I hear a lot of times about the angels that when they come around the throne of God, I think it's in Isaiah, they cry, holy, 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 mm-hmm. To the Lord. And I was wondering, out of all this, I was wondering why, out of all the things that they could call God, why do they say holy? I mean, we know that God is love and God is light and he has all kinds of attributes. What is it about holiness that makes them cry holy, among other things?
Well, we have to define what holiness is. And since God is the standard of all holiness, we would say that it's a standard or a place of incredible purity and righteousness and complete wonderment of goodness. And that's what God is. And notice it says it three times. Mm-hmm. Holy, holy, holy. A trinity of holy. I believe it reflects the Trinitarian Godhead. But that's what's going on. It's a standard of purity, and without sin, without the ability to sin, as God possesses, magnificent, pure, wondrous holiness. It's just what he is. It's kind of hard to describe, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering why don't they call him love, or why don't they call him light, or goodness, or loving kindness.
Well, he is called those things in other places, but here the angels are worshiping, and I would say that holiness is the greatest thing of God. Now, that's not the best way to phrase it, but, you know, he is so pure and perfect and good that it encompasses everything. And so the holiness of God is from that is where love and mercy and graciousness and justice and everything else flow out of his character. And holiness is a reflection of the character of God. And that's what we would say. Okay.
Okay. Well, I can see that. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
Well, sure, man. No problem, Paul. God bless.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. All right, let's get to Nelson from California. Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
God bless, Matt. Yes, I wanted to ask, I was doing a research real quick, referring to John 14:15, when Jesus says to disciples, if you love, you will keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up on the Blue Letter Bible. The word love, Jesus used it as agape. Mm-hmm. And then the commandments, I looked on the concordance, and it said several definitions of it, but one of them was referring to the Mosaic Law.
Yeah.
I guess my question is that, I mean, as we know, that none of us can keep the commandments, and so mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say that Jesus contradicted himself at all, no. Right there, it's pretty much playing to his disciples to keep the commandments, or what is it?
Yeah, and which commandments? Because you'll keep my commandments. And in different places, he said things like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and the Ten Commandments, which are reflected in so much of the New Testament. We could also see the Beatitudes and the commands that he gives in there. And he does say, you know, to love one another. And so all these kind of things are woven into that. You know, if you love someone, well, but if you love Jesus, you're going to do what he wants.
Yeah.
You're going to obey what he says. And that's it, because to love him is to follow him and obey him. And he even says, pick up your cross daily and follow after me. We could say that's another command. And so if we're really going to love Christ, we're going to do those things. It doesn't mean that we're saved by them, but we're to do them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And And so with that, how can I say to a person that says, look, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and meaning interpreting to them that we have to keep the whole law in order to be saved.
They just don't understand what the Bible's teaching. And it's pretty typical. Catholics will say that. Mormons will say it. Jehovah's Witnesses. And they'll say, see, you got to keep the commandments in order to be saved. They say, where does it say that? You know, a lot of times what will happen, there's a technique in apologetics. Someone will make a statement like, they might go to John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And someone will say, you have to keep the commandments to be saved. And then you might come up and say something like, no, you don't, because... Well, a better way to do it is to say, well, it doesn't say what you said in the text. It doesn't say that if you love him, you keep his commandments in order to keep yourself saved. It doesn't say that.
Exactly.
And so, a lot of times what we do is we want to refute something they've said, when what we ought to do is simply ask them to verify what they've said. And so, you'll find that a lot of times what people do in false religious systems, they use the Bible, they'll say something about the scriptures, and I do it all the time with people. All the time. Well, it doesn't say that. Yes, it does. Where does it say to keep the commandments to be saved? Well, right there. It's what it means. Well, it's not what it says.
Yeah.
You're saying it means that, but it's not what it says. Let's go with what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just very simple. And I try and train people to just read the text or what it says and not imply anything. And you can do the same thing when someone quotes something. And you can just say, well, does it say what you're saying? And ask them to justify it. And then you can go to other verses in the Bible and say, you know, for example, Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And you can say, so tell him, could you please harmonize those? And you don't have to offer a harmony yet, but you can just ask them to harmonize what the scriptures are saying. And have them start trying to do exegesis instead of eisegesis, having them understand and make sense out of the word instead of trying to force the word to say what they want it to say. It's just a real simple approach, and it works very well. Okay.
And with that said, also Seventh-day Adventists, they believe in keeping the commandments, correct?
Yes, and we should too as Christians. But if they say you got to keep them in order to be saved, then they're false converts and teaching a false gospel.
Okay. And then one more last thing before I let you go. Thinking about taking your class, critical thinking. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Oh, it's a low level, light method that I've developed page by page in order to teach people the basics of what they need to do and think and how to think logically. So I go through some exercises and I lay out logical fallacies and define them and show and things like that. It's real simple, but that's all you really need. You don't need to get into logic paradigms where you have these symbolic logic equations. We don't need that. You need to know the various fallacies, like the genetic fallacy. You know, when someone says, well, you're a Mormon, therefore you can't tell me anything that's true. Well, that's not true. Mormons can certainly say things that are true. The genetic fallacy, genetic, deals with, as an example here, the source of the information does not invalidate the information. And, you know, some people will say that. And it's just a fallacy. So I go through and show about 15 of the most common fallacies that people make. And then once you can identify them, you can do much better. Okay?
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, man.
God bless. All right. God bless. Hey, folks, we got a break. If you want to give me a call, we have three open lines. 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's go to Joanne from North Carolina. Joanne, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm risk and sound and ignorant, but a soul means more to me than my ignorance. So I've got a question on how I should take this. I have a friend, and I call her a friend. I've never met her. She's way out of state. Mm-hmm. She has said, I'm Catholic. I don't know. I don't understand the difference in Catholic and Roman Catholic. Her husband is dying. Okay. Well, so her husband is dying, and I'm sending prayers by email, and I keep stressing in the name of Jesus.
Good.
What else can I do?
Well, what I would do is, in those prayers, prayer to Christ, and continually pray to him, exemplifying the issue of praying to him for the forgiveness of sins. Because in Catholicism, they're trained not to do that. They're trained not to go to Jesus. They're trained to go to a priest and get forgiveness from a priest and get forgiveness by taking bread and wine, which infuses grace into them. And then the more grace they get, the better off they are. It's a works-based religion, and it's full of atrocities, theological atrocities. And the basics is that if you just want to witness without being offensive, just point them to Christ, and point her to Christ, and say, pray, and in the prayers, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I look to you, and I look to no one else. I trust in you and no one else. You are my God. You are my Lord. Just praising him as you're teaching and praying. And those are the things that we want a Catholic to do anyway, is pray to Christ and trust Christ completely and totally. And not Jesus and baptism, not Jesus and the Eucharist, not Jesus and penance, not Jesus and whatever else they might be adding to the finished work of Christ. So that makes sense?
So, yes, sir. So if I'm in my emails praying in that way, and if I'm praying at home and my husband's praying with us, that's all we can do.
Well, yeah, I thought you were writing them to her, but maybe I misunderstood.
I am. Okay. I'm writing the prayers.
Yeah, and you can do it that way. You can witness a great deal that way, and you can quote Scripture. So there's a lot you can do, and what I would do is, if I were you, is just ask God to direct your prayers and your writing,
yes,
and to just ask him to demonstrate to you what he wants you to do. And
okay. That
would be good enough.
I just want to know I've done everything I can do,
Well, everything you can do. A lot of people have not, but I wouldn't worry about it. You do what you can.
Okay.
Okay. Just do what you can.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Joanne.
Have a
God
good
bless.
Day.
Okay, you
God
too.
Bless.
Thanks. All right. Well, that's Joanne from North Carolina, a neat woman. And folks, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. So let's get to Kauri from North Carolina. Kauri, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Yes. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, Kauri, you're on the air.
Hello? Yes, this is Kauri. He's 7 years old, and he has a question.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
My question is, what's the right Bible for me, because I'm 7 years old?
Oh, wow. You know what? I don't know. I'm not familiar with children's Bibles. I would not get one from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I would not get one from Catholicism. I'd not get one from the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses. But for the most part, you can get some pretty good ones out there. But maybe I'll have to do a little bit of research on that and see what I could recommend for children's Bibles. We used to have a few of them here, when my kids were your age, and we would use them. But I don't know. I that's all I can tell you. Have your mom and dad look online and check them out, get recommendations, see reviews on them, and just get one or two. Okay?
Okay.
Do you like reading the Bible?
Thank you.
Sure. Do you like reading the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah? What's your favorite part?
Yeah.
Do you have any favorites in there?
Jesus.
Yes, that's right. Anything about him that really is important to you, that you think is really neat? Anything like that? Anything stick out in your mind?
He loves us.
Well, you can't get any much better than that, I guess, huh? That's pretty good. Well, I'm glad you like that. You know, when I was teaching my children, and they were about 7 years old, they could they could answer theological questions. But at any rate, really appreciate you calling. Okay, Kari? Appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. All right. That was Kari on Children's Bibles. I'm going to do a little bit of research on that and just see how that might be. All right. Let's get to Dick from South Dakota. And folks, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. You're right. I mean, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, sir. My name is Dick Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
I got a good American name for a good God here in America, which I am. Would you call your my first question? Would you call yourself a literalist? Do you take the Bible's truth as just that, what it says on the page?
Well, the thing is, we can't say everything in the Bible is literal. It has poetry, it has parables, it even has fiction, it has prophecy, it has narration. But all of it is inspired, which means it's accurately recorded and accurately represented. And then we use different kinds of methodologies to interpret varying areas of Scripture. So Psalms are literally music, the words of music. And the book of Ruth is a historical account. So we would exegete them very similarly. But they are a little bit different genres, so we have to just keep that in mind when we're considering looking at it. Okay.
So I have a question. So I was raising my children are a little older now, but raising children can be difficult, you know, even in homes of faith. I like hearing you talk to that last boy.
Mm-hmm.
One time my son tried to interpret the book in a way that we need more proud defenders of the faith. And I'm glad you're one of us, sir.
Yeah, I defend the faith, that's for sure. That's my passion, to defend the faith and equip Christians as well. I'd love to deal with believers as well as unbelievers. But go ahead.
I'd love to ask the listeners to pray for my pregnant daughters, actually. They both had several miscarriages, but we know the story of Lot, and through the Lord's love, I'm certain my new children and grandchildren will finally be born.
Oh, by God's grace, yeah. But thanks for calling, Dick. Appreciate it. We got a break there, okay? Okay, that's interesting. We have four open lines, folks. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Larry from Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Thank you so much for your ministry. And I had a question about my wife and I were studying some of the information you had on the covenants of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, were they just all in succession? And like, was one covenant like, you got Moses, David, were they, how long did they last, or did they last until the other one was put into place by the Father? How does that lay out?
Well, the way it works, if you're going to study covenants, you'll know, hopefully, that covenants have certain stipulations. Now, for example, my wife and I made a covenant to be married till death do us part. And so that's what's going on, is the covenant will be valid until that point. We have different kinds of covenants in the Bible. Some are dependent upon the fulfillment of certain individuals, and if they're broken, then the covenant's void. And then there's covenants that are not avoidable. You know, God's eternal covenant and the redemptive work of the Trinitarian communion. And so it just depends. So God, for example, with Noah, promised never again to destroy the world by water. So that's going to be a covenant that can't be broken. So the world will never again be destroyed by water. So that one lasts longer than, you know, for example, the covenant with Adam. You know, if you don't eat of the tree, you stay here and everything's good, you'll be fine. And they broke the covenant, and they're in trouble. So that ended right quickly. So you see, it just depends on what the stipulations are of the covenant.
And the parties involved.
Yes.
Whether they keep to it.
Right, and the stipulations depend upon the party. And because God, will he can give stipulations in a covenant that are conditioned upon us. He can give stipulations in a covenant that are dependent upon him. And so there's different just different aspects of it.
All right, cool. Well, that answers my question. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No problem, man. God bless.
All right, I
got you.
Bye.
All right. Okay, boy, I have a yawn. Just hanging there. If you want to give me a call, folks, you have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Want to hear from you, so give me a call. Let's get to Randall from West Virginia. Randall, welcome. You're on the air. What do you got, buddy?
Hello, Matt.
Hi.
I've got a question on... Well, I don't really have a question, but I'm trying to answer some people in my Christian circle that believe that Adam was created, Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 1, the 26th verse down. I highlighted everything. And then in the second chapter, after it says he finished, they're saying that God formed man from the dust of the ground. I guess they're saying that he created mankind, and then he created Adam extra and put him in the garden, so there was more than just Adam, which I'm trying my best to explain that the Bible is reiterating that, but I was wondering if you could help me out.
Well, that's exactly what the right answer is. Now, what group is teaching this? Is it on TV, radio, books, or just some people?
I don't know where they're getting it. It's some of the people at my church, and there's like probably about three or four of them.
Okay,
I don't know where they're hearing this at, but I'm trying to
find out.
Trying to talk to them. I told them. I told the lady last week. I said I'm going to call my pastor, Matt, and ask him.
Well, okay, tell you what. You need to find out what group, thing, whatever they're listening to get this. And then the elders of the church should be informed about this, because it's an error that can lead to other errors. And generally when two, three, four people are teaching something, they're going to start telling other people, and an infection and a problem is caused. So the elders need to be made aware of this. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made heaven and earth. Now, let's be consistent using their methodology. So Genesis 1, God created them and mankind, and then Adam and Eve later on. That's their argument, right?
Right.
And they're going to do that because they fail to understand that Genesis 2 is a compilation, or summarization, I should say. Look at verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that they were, the Lord God made heaven and earth. Well, if you go back to Genesis 1, that took several days. So what he's saying here is in the day. So if it's, they're going to be consistent, then say, how could God have created heavens and earth in 3 days, because he created the light and then the land and then another day the water, and so it's a bit of difference in formation. Just get the little specifics down so you can know what to say exactly. And say, why would he be doing this? What's going on? Did he create two worlds? Two earths? Did he create a general world and then another world inside, like humanity and then a person inside? Use the same argument against them and see what they say.
Yeah, I've tried to use some scripture, you know, the first man, Adam, and, you know, and through Adam's fall, we sin entered into the world, and I guess they find a way around that, so I'm just trying to be more specific.
Well, actually,
I'll
really
study more on it.
Actually, you brought up a very good verse, the first man, Adam, and that's 1 Corinthians 15:45. And I'd be, you know, I wish you like I would call the show, because I love having discussions like that when people are on something wrong and then they want to defend it. I always enjoy that because I can see how people think and how badly they think. But it does say the first man, Adam, became a living soul. And, of course, that's out of Genesis 2:7. But, you know, I was quoting 1 Corinthians 15:45. I wonder what they would say to that. You brought it up. It's a very good verse. So you did, you know, that was great. But there's different ways to tackle this thing. What I find is, if you really want to tackle it, have them teach you and give you literature about this. And say, you know, you've got me thinking. I'm really interested in it. And don't oppose them. Gather information. And then study the information. You'll find their weaknesses. And then you'll be able to answer them better. And that's what I like to do. If there's something new I don't know about, I will go ask.
Yeah, well, they're all pretty much reformed and everything. It's just that
what
right there that some of them have that I can't, you know, I'm having a problem with. So I will try to find out some more information, and so I may be calling you back later, maybe.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting discussion to have. I've not heard that. I've not heard that. I have people have said that, well, what's the difference between Genesis 1 and 2? Genesis 1 is more detailed, 2 is a recapitulation. That's all that's going on. And so they should know that. If they say they're reformed and are holding to that, something's not right someplace. And
right.
You got to find out. So,
okay, you know, I'll do some digging and ask some questions without being angry or mean with them or anything. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask them.
All right, well, thank you, Matt. That helps.
Okay. Well, good. Good, good, good. All right, man. God bless. All right, that's Randall from West Virginia. If you want to give me a call, folks, we have 5 open lines, 877-207-2276. Normally, the lines are all lit up right now, but I don't know what's going on. So, wow, I just saw a word. I just glanced at it. This is Genesis 2:11. It reminded me of something. Actually, it's kind of funny. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah. I used to know a family that had a daughter named Havilah. So I just saw this. I just remembered. Anyway, just out of nowhere. So if you guys have any comments or questions, give me a call, 877-207-2276. We've got a break coming up there in about a minute. Just want to let you know that we could use your support, folks. If you are, you know, you're enjoying hearing what's on the radio here, you like what I got to say, even if you don't, because that often is the case, and you want to continue to hear it, all you got to do is give us some support, because we have lost some during the corona thing. A lot of people have lost their jobs, lost income, so they've politely said, hey, you can't do it anymore. And but if you can and you want to help out, you know, you can go to the carm.org website, carm.org, and to the right hand side of any page you'll see the donate and the, you know, things like that. And just, it's easy to do. We ask $5 a month, $10 a month, that kind of a thing, not very much. And if we can get 1,000 people to do, say, for example, $10 a month, then we can go expand to other radio shows, and we can do several more things that we need to do. So, you know, it's just not that big a deal. But I'm just letting people know about that. And there's a break. I've got 4 people waiting online. So what we'll do is go to that break, and then we'll get back to the callers right after these messages. Please stay tuned. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Tony from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Tony, you're on the air.
How you doing there?
I'm doing all right.
Did you get a chance to check the Complete Jewish Study Bible? What do you think of that thing?
I downloaded it. Now that you are reminding me, I think I did download it, and I didn't get a chance to go through it.
Okay.
But thanks for reminding me, because, you know, I have so many things I'm doing. In fact, I'm working on something on the break. I try and, you know, do as much as I can. So, and plus I had to rebuild my computer, so I had to get all my books back on the system and things like that. So, yeah, thanks for reminding me. The Jewish Bible. I'm going to make sure.
Yeah, it's the complete Jewish study Bible.
There it is. By David Stern. Okay. I just opened it up.
I kind of like it because it's got Hebrew words and stuff in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's usually just names and things like that. Jerusalem, Yaakov, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I learned a little bit of Hebrew.
You know, what I can do is, but does it go into the New Testament at all? Is it mostly Christian?
Oh yeah. He's a Messianic Jew.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there's some verses there and some stuff. So
the thing that kind of stood out to me that I was kind of questioning a little bit in Genesis 1, I think it's verse 6, when he was whatever it was, he was talking about the dome. And I was like, was this guy flat earther or something?
Yeah, because that's what the word is, okay, what was that? I forgot. And I wrote an article on this, and it generally is understood to be a dome. But that's generally what it is. And a beaten piece of metal is generally how it's used in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. The problem with saying that the earth is flat and there's a dome, literally a dome over it, it doesn't work because that's not the intention of the text. It's just using a term that they are familiar with about the dome of heaven, because they're just seeing what looks like a dome. But they're not making a theological statement or cosmological statement. And the people who hold to flat earth, in my opinion, don't have all their logical paws in the litter box.
Well, okay.
I just thought I'd check on that.
I wanted to see your opinion about it.
No, thanks for reminding me. I opened it up on my Kindle, and so I've got it in front of me, and I can go through do some checks. I'll need to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot, man.
All right, man. Well, God bless. Okay.
See you, bye.
And see you. Okay. All right. Let's get to, let's see, Mike from Pennsylvania. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Matt?
Well, doing apologetics, answering questions. What do you got, buddy?
I wanted to ask you about confession. Is there any scripture in the Bible that says that we should confess our sins to people we have sinned against?
Well, it says bear one another's burdens, and there are, top of my head, I know there's verses where it talks about if you've gone, you offended somebody, you go be reconciled with him. In Matthew 5, it talks about this. So the idea of reconciliation means to make things right. And if you've sinned against somebody, you need to go and make it right. And to do that means you've admitted a wrong, which is confession. So if you personally, hypothetically, have done something wrong to a family member, neighbor, friend, coworker, whatever it is, and you realize you've done something wrong, you go to that person and confess it as wrong and ask forgiveness. Okay?
Okay.
That's what you've got to do.
It doesn't matter how much time has went by or anything like that.
Well, that's correct. you make me laugh because I'm going to do this generically. Back when I was younger, I did something that was bad, and then 35 years later or so, the Lord brought it to my mind and would not let it go away, and I needed to make it right, but doing so could have meant I went to jail, and so, for real, and so I talked to my wife, and she was, okay, go take care of this. And I did. And everything worked out. All right?
Yeah.
So, I'm being very generic, and I have reasons for that.
Yeah.
But when I was stupid and young and, you know, real stupid. I don't know why God picked me to do anything. Gosh. So, you know, he brought that back, and I knew it was from him. And I knew I had to have it taken care of. And sometimes what God does is he just brings something up, and he just is persistent. Go take care of it. It gets done. And you move on. So you confess. You admit. You take care of. And that's what happened. And it works out. And if the person you've offended will not forgive, you're free at that point anyway. You've done what you're supposed to do. Now the problem is with them, not with you. All right?
Okay. Another thing I want to say, I got your book, Time Trap. I just started reading it. And for some odd reason, I automatically picture you as Zeke.
You know, I was kind of wondering if Zeke and me were kind of, you know, bleeding over, but then also, you know, Finn and I have some similarities too. So, anyway, three guys and three girls on there. How far into the book are you? Just curious.
I'm at the first couple of chapters, so the cloud. Oh, but I don't want to give too much away. You know,
that's right.
The thing is starting to come towards them.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Is it interesting? Is it interesting?
Oh yeah, very interesting. Yeah, I like that. I like books that get right into the action.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the book, man. I love the book so far.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I want to hear what you have to say about it when you're done too. Go ahead.
Yeah. Another thing. I was hearing that you needed like some help with your with your site or something like that, mm-hmm. with your ministry, and I just wanted to, maybe I could offer you some help or whatever, if it's needed. I just got myself a laptop and doing some stuff.
Appreciate
myself.
That. That's the problem with what I do is it takes a lot of knowledge in order to answer emails, and I have two guys helping me, and I've known them for 40 years, and they're knowledgeable. And we have a guy working on a website and just be an expert at certain things. It's not easy. And even my wife, who's not theologically minded, she does a lot of the bookkeeping kind of things and data entry and things like that from emails and takes care of this password and that. And it takes a skill set, and she's got to be involved with it on a regular basis. It's just a tough ministry to be in. What we need is a good dump of a few $100,000 into our bank account so I can hire some people and we can get a video going and have a video videographer as well as an editor and start doing videos. We've got to do that. So we need specializations, and that's the thing. We need to do that. We need more money. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Gotcha.
While it's still legal to be a Christian. Yeah. Okay. All right?
Okay. Thank you so much, Matt. Have a good one.
All right, man. God bless.
Have a good
one. All right. Let's get on the phone with Michael from Wyoming. That's where I was born, Wyoming. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
So, you know, first I'd just like to say to the guy before, you know, it sounds like a issue, you know, we all sort of had. With forgiveness, I mean. And so if I could speak on it, I would just like to say, you know, make sure you're approaching that person in the spirit of hoping that they would welcome. You know, because if you're an unwelcome presence, that's kind of a selfish thing. And I made that mistake.
Right.
I couldn't help but call you. You know, I was,
Okay.
I'm driving right now, but I couldn't help but call you. I got excited when I was hearing. I'm on the highway.
Yeah.
And I've just been dealing with the issue, you know. I go to church, and it's been happening all my life. It's just been increasing and increasing the more I try and push it away. I'm looking up at that priest.
You're looking what?
I'm looking up at him, and
a priest?
I see the cross. In the area I'm in, I have to go to a certain kind of congregation.
But well, I wouldn't go to a Catholic church or an Eastern Orthodox. I'd stay away from those no matter what. But at any rate, go ahead. We're done, and we'll just move along. Let's get to Monique from Greensboro, North Carolina. And just ask. There you go. Okay, Monique, you're on.
Yeah, that was weird. That last thing. Anyway, so sad. First of all, God bless you just because you're a sincere believer. I'll make this as pointed as I can. It just happens to be in line with the subject of forgiveness, but I'm asking a real question.
Mm-hmm.
can you highlight for me if there's any place that I'm missing an instruction from the Lord on this condition? So the condition where we know God's will concerning reconciliation and forgiveness, what can you point me to anything directly when the situation is overwhelmingly, ironically so, like across the board, different people, different situations, but none of them not only have shown any kind of desire to reconcile, but what's worse is they haven't even acknowledged. Now, these are not objective things like, well, you know, they insulted my outfit one day, and I'm talking about very clearly hurtful things, and not in response to anything I've done. So is there anything, I'm just struggling here because very much is unclear for me right now, and in spite of my speaking and love the word, is there something that gives for those situations where the people never acknowledge, because Jesus said, if you repent, 7 times 7 is forgiven. These people haven't repented or acknowledged it.
Okay.
So I want to see whether I've fully forgiven according to the scripture. I know in the will of my heart I have.
Well, if you've forgiven them and they don't recognize their sin, you're free. At that point, what you do is you pray for them and you ask the Lord to reveal to them issues of sin. And maybe there's always a possibility that they didn't sin and the problem's all in you. And so, you know, part of the prayer would be, Lord, am I wrong? You know, I mean, we're just going through the variables. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to ask about that and you just pray. And but if you know for a fact, they are the ones who were rude and just said this and bad, it was blah, blah, it's on them. And they just don't see it. Well, then you can't do anything. And you can pray, except for pray for them and ask God to deal with them and not in a malicious way. And
right,
you're fine.
Right,
you're
course.
Free. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I ask that because I guess the better way to say it then is still being hurt, just the being hurt, like humanly being hurt by it, considered offended. That's what I was.
It depends.
You know,
it depends on what's in you. I'm going to rush through because we're almost out of time. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you." That's Ephesians 4:31. So your heart before God is the issue, and we don't have time to get into it. And we're through a few things. Call back tomorrow, okay? We can talk about it. All right, buddy. Sorry about that. We're out of
time. Thank you.
All right. It's an important thing to talk about. I hope she calls back. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, folks, we'll be back on the air tomorrow on Friday. We'll talk to you then. God bless. Bye.